Take your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 27. I've called this unpolluted from the world. Unpolluted from the world. Let me read it. Verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled. Don't you want to have religion in your life? Nothing wrong with religion. It's a good thing. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And here's the other part that you never hear mentioned: and to keep oneself unstained, unpolluted from the world. From the world. I think we understand the benevolence of looking after widows and looking after orphans, or whatever the equivalent of that would be here today. But the other requirement is to keep oneself unstained from the world. The world, we're not referring to the globe. We're not referring to the inhabitants when we say the world, but we are referring to the system, the mind behind the system, perhaps even, which I believe is the enemy, is the devil. The world. Why would we need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? The answer is because there is a force of the world that must be constantly fought against. The world is Satan's masterpiece. It is a spiritual system of great power and great pull and great attraction. And the question is, to what end? To what end the world? Why should we be alarmed? Because the purpose of Satan's masterpiece is to captivate men and women's allegiance and to draw them to himself. And so his plan of attack is the world. And that's why Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. The world has a power. Most Christians do not have the victory that they need because they don't recognize the power of the world. It's insidious. And I think of my whole Christian life when I began to realize that I needed to have a clear perception in my mind of the nature of the world. I used to think that, when I became a Christian, in at least in Baptist/Pentecostal circles, you played cards. That was the world. But caught in a movie house when Jesus comes, maybe you wouldn't make it. And square dancing, apparently that was a vileness in itself, apparently. I know the church recommended that I quit taking the... isn't that odd? I don't know why I was taking square dance lessons in the first place, but perhaps somebody could pray about that. But anyway, I look back and I said, we weren't even close to what the real world is, the power of it, and the evilness of it. So he has one objective. The evil one has an objective to establish his own dominion until finally the whole world will be kneeling before him, which is on its way. So, as the end of the age approaches, by the way, let me take note of this. It's not, I hear people talk about the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, it's the end of the age. Huge difference in understanding. The world will be around for a long, long, long time. Certainly in a restored form of it. But it's the end of the age. His efforts to seduce, his efforts to captivate, his efforts to bring into allegiance to himself and draw us to himself will increase. the pull will be greater. And the reason for that, his efforts will increase because Revelation 12 and 13 tells us that he knows that his time is short. So therefore, he seeks like a roaring lion to devour all and those that he could. And so as aliens, which is us, and sojourners, it's funny, those who were in the Bible class this morning over at Waves, it was the very same message, only different passage. But as aliens and sojourners, we must have a clear understanding of the spirit of the world. If not, you will not be effective, and matter of fact, you will be seduced by it. So the Antichrist spirit that rules the world, again, not the globe, not the people, God so loved the world. We're talking about the system and the mind behind the system that makes it work. This Antichrist spirit is behind not card playing or square dancing. Boy, that just drives me crazy thinking about that. But it's behind commerce. It's behind trade. It's behind the arts. It's behind science. It's behind religion. It's behind politics. It's behind the news media. A power designed to seduce and captivate. And so we touch this world, or at least we ought to touch this world, with great fear, great trembling, knowing that if you touch the world and it touches you, and that is always the fear, is that somehow in my naivety that I will touch the world, but the world will touch me. And I will be a worldly man. And you don't ever want to be called a worldly man. You know how we talk about, so he said he was a man of the world. That's not a reason to boast. That means you have been seduced and captured by the mind behind the system. And so, no wonder it was this, come out and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Right? We have an awareness that we're a part of the world. We're in here. We're long term. We live here. We touch all of these things, commerce, trade, science. We touch them regularly. But we must do so very carefully, that in so touching it, that it will drag me in, and that I will be very ineffective from that point on. It's a power designed to seduce, to captivate. And so we touch this world. We have to. And I'll tell you why in just a couple of moments here. See, we're different from John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an ascetic. He lived in the wilderness, and he ate locusts, and he ate wild honey. He was different from the rest of us. But not so with us. We are more like Jesus. We come like Jesus, both eating and drinking. It's funny how they were condemned. John the Baptist was condemned because he was an ascetic, and Jesus was condemned being a wine bibber and a glutton because he came eating and drinking. So, but we must be very careful so as not to cross the line. Every day of your life, there will be a pull for you to cross the line and that you would be on the world side and you would be buying into the world system. And so we must not cross the line. There's every day, oh dear Lord, keep me unspotted from the world. While I'm feeding orphans, right? While we're reaching out to people, to this world that God so loved. The great danger is that something along the way will attract you and you no longer will make the pearl of great price your lifelong ambition. And it's been to my great heartache over the years of, I guess almost 40 years now, of being involved in ministry to see people that started so well really, you know, moved by God, touched by God, and now not so much. I see them, I sometimes chat with them, and I can see that something has happened, that their light has gone out. They basically just live in this world. You know, TLO people, right? This world, this life only, is a seriousness all the time. And so, well, have we crossed the line? We must use it. We consume it. We work with it. We're around it. It breathes on us. We breathe on this system. But we must not cross the line. See, where do we cross the line? When we have to eat and drink and marry and bring up children and involve ourselves in trade and cut the grass and reach out to widows and orphans, how do we do so without remaining contaminated? That's this urgency to it. So I am convinced that His Holy Spirit, our Father's Holy Spirit, will always tell us when we've reached the limit. That Holy Spirit will always tell us when we've reached the Spirit and when we have touched the darkness. And there is, of course, a kingdom of Antichrist controlled by the devil, soon to be revealed. I think soon to be revealed. So we turn to the Scriptures to see what the admonition is in the light of that. We tell them when we've reached the edge, we cannot cross over. We must be careful that we don't cross over. And yet that we be aware of what the Bible, and to use the Bible reason for how to stay unspotted. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 17. Do not love the world. Love not the world. Love not the world. Or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, could anything be more frightening than that? For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 18, chapter 2. Children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. And this is interesting, isn't it? Therefore, we know that this is the last hour. How do we know? How do we know that? Because so many have come. That's the answer. So many have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour of this age, the last hour of this age, and when the Antichrist will be revealed. There have been all types of Antichrists, but one on its way. So how are they to know, how are we to know, if we've got too close to the world? Right? If my love of this and my attraction to that, it's not wrong in and of itself, providing we realize that there's dangers to it. That, you know, your desire to, for example, you buy a new boat. Well, that would be fine in itself, I suppose. But now you find yourself with this wonderful boat that you have to be gone every weekend from April to fall. And we never see you. And we find out later that your spirit is quite cold towards the things of the Lord, even though it was a legitimate thing in itself. But at some point, somebody says, listen, we've touched the world now. And I'm thinking of someone who did buy a boat. And they bought a boat and they invited took the kids and everybody went out. And they said, by the end of the summer, he said, we were almost divorced. That boat, they said, drove us crazy. But we had to use it because we bought it. But they crossed the line and became very, very worldly in the process of it. Who would have guessed, right? Who would guess that could happen? But it does. And that's just one simple little, almost silly illustration. But it makes the point. How do we know if we get too close to the world? What are we to do? The answer that John gives is so simple that today we're afraid to believe it. Could it be that simple? Apparently. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Me, we have an anointing from the Holy One. And we know all things, or we all have knowledge. We know all things. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, this is not saying that you shouldn't sit down and be minister to somebody in the scriptures. It's not talking about that at all. It's simply saying that regarding the spirit of the Antichrist, regarding the end of the age, regarding the world, the nature of the world, the context is the nature of the world. So if you don't need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. If I abide in him, the promise is that I will not be deceived, and I'll be able to tell. And I can tell, even watching television. I can tell when I've crossed the line. How do I? Does anybody else have the? Do people say I've crossed the line? No, they just know. I got to turn the TV off. Why? It's seducing me. I'm caught up in it. It's driving me crazy. I've been watching for 4 hours. And you say, I must shut it off. Why? It's the world. Because I was watching a really interesting documentary from History Channel. You know, for 4 hours. Right? Did I need to be doing that? Perhaps not. My point is that something that simple, he said, you have no need for people to teach you. If you abide in him and he abides in you, you will have that, there will be a radar. Yes, there will be a radar. The radar will tell me, you're in dangerous land. That's of the world. And you might have to, business people, you touch the world. There's all kinds of situations. You know, you go to school, you're studying, you're doing different things, and you're interacting with people all the time and ideas, and you're around with a lot of worldly, can I use that word, worldly people. And you come home. I've had people say, you know, I came home, I went to my small group or Bible study group, and it was like I came in from, I was being polluted at work, just pollution, just the talk, the direction of that talk, and where it was going, and the off-color things. He said, and I came here, I said, oh, man, this is so refreshing. I can feel the difference. There's something about the presence of the Lord, right? And they felt refreshed in that presence. I believe that. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, now this is not the Antichrist, this is the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world. Concerning sin, and concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. He will convict the world. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. John 16 and verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Again, this assurance that I won't be seduced, or I will sense that this radar, as it were, that will control me. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 29 to verse 31, Paul's, you know what he's talking about? He said, if you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. If you're doing this, keep doing whatever you were doing when Christ found you, keep on doing it. And the reason he said that I'm telling you this with the way I'm telling you, he said, I'm not trying to cause you more problems. He said, I'm trying to make life simpler for you. So, and then he says that the appointed time has grown very short. The appointed time has grown very short. Isn't that, to me, I said, whoa, my goodness, it's right in the middle of nowhere, right in chapter 7. Verse 31. And those who deal with the world do it as if you had no dealings with it. You can't get away from it. That's what your work calls you to. That's what your involvement, you know, whatever you're doing, that's what it calls you to. You must be doing it. And we're not ascetics. Right? We're not going to move our stuff to Creston and have a couple of goats. Right? Little generator. And hope that Jesus comes for the Antichrist. That's not what we're about. There's people that would say, should we be leaving this world so we can protect it from the world? No, it's not. That's not the moment. And even back then, it wasn't the moment. But Jesus said, those who deal with the world, do it like you don't do it. In other words, you do what's required, and then you pull away from it. And yet not altogether. He said, matter of fact, he said, I don't want you to fellowship with that certain individual in the church who was having sex with his mother. If you read the story on that, that's what was happening. And he said, don't sit with him. Don't work because of what he's doing. And he said, I tell you, leave the world. But he said, can't leave the world. That's what he actually said, can't leave the world. But he said, but be careful in your contamination with that person, that individual. So, verse 31, and those who deal with the world, do it as if you had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. You know, I don't get that sense from the average Christian, including average among us. I don't think we have that kind of a sense of the end is drawing near. And I think there's a deficiency among us because of that. The scripture does, why don't I? Right, when I was reading this verse and it leapt out at me, he says, and be untainted and stained from the world. I said, when's the last time I ever thought of that? I've quoted and used the orphans, but not this fact of the world would want to stain me if it could, and it would if it could. So we are aliens living in an element that is not naturally ours. We're here. We're not leaving. We're not moving to Creston, unless you want to find cheaper property or something. But we're not going there. That's not what we would want to be doing. So, what can we say? That Jesus came from above. In John 4:4-6. He says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." That verse has been used for a lot of different things. He that is in you, who's in me? The Holy Spirit, is from God. He's greater than he that's in the world. That force in the world is not greater than the force who lives in you. Lives in me. And I must thank him every day. Say, oh, thank you. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The world has this awesome power, but not greater than the one who is in me. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Boy. I'm greatly comforted. Greatly comforted by that, because I can see that when we cross the line, it's a very thin, only the Lord knows for you, your situation. I can't say, it's an individual thing. Now, for example, 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You say, whoa, go back again. We are from God, and the whole world. What part? The whole world. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And it's moving in a direction. Folks, that never moves towards God. It always moves away from God. I read somewhere just recently that there has never been, in the last 2,000 years, there has never been a seminary, a Bible seminary, that has not gone liberal, including some of the most famous. I thought, wow, at a theological seminary, its tendency is to move towards liberalism, and thus the Bible to be questioned. I know that, you know, the news, they'll throw a nod to God in there just for the sake of viewers. You know, here's the little story of the week, something about, you know, and it'll be something about Jesus or God, but just enough to kind of keep people happy from being unhappy. But the direction is always, they have the Christians, you know, the women are wearing babushkas and they're down by the rivers and they're just absolutely weird, and the ministers are pedophiles and creepy people, and they're all shysters, and that's how it's portrayed. And there was a study done by some students that to see how Christianity had been portrayed for the last 70 years in the media. There wasn't one single healthy picture of a Christian. They were all unhealthy pictures. I mean, weird pictures, like odd, either doctrinally or in any other way. And I said, of course. And in one way, why should we expect? This is the world. It will always move away from God, against God. And be against God, against the things of the Lord. And that's why the world doesn't seem to mind. You mentioned, as long as you don't take it too seriously, they don't mind a little bit. But after that, they have no interest in it. They have no interest in the things of the Lord, nor can they. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's the reason. That's the reason. And our job somehow as people who are aliens and citizens from heaven, we are like ambassadors. We are representing heaven while we're here. We're not to be weird or strange. We dress like everybody else. We mow our lawns and do the things and pay our taxes like everybody does. So, but to be aware that this power is there that will seduce me. It's not might, it will. And I have felt it. I have felt the coldness of my own heart. And I have felt my religiousness at times. And I've realized that, I'm not drawing close to the Lord. I'm not yielding to the Lord very much here. And I feel kind of worldly. I feel distant from the Lord. And I know why. It's because I've been feeding at the trough of the world. And that's probably the reason. John chapter 1, verse 13. But to all who did receive him. Oh, I love this. This is a great verse. This is shortly after, maybe 3 nights after I got saved, somebody pointed this verse out to me. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, okay, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God, born from above. Born of God, born from above. And here's the thinking behind it. Because we are begotten of God, the evil one cannot touch us. Because we are born from above, not the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, but born of God, because we are begotten of God, the evil one cannot touch us. I'm encouraged by that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, we know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Oh, he would if he could, but he doesn't. So Satan's power, dear folks here this morning, Satan's power is the world system. That's how it works, the world system. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us in, to be yielded to Him, we can ask some questions. See, I suspect that the more I am filled with God, the less there is room for the world to squeeze into me. You know, don't. And Paul writes in Corinthians or in Romans. Remember, he says that, Romans. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Why? Because it will. And it's ever so subtle. It's ever so slow in its process that you don't actually realize that you're being seduced, that you're being drawn away. And so some questions come as we wrap this up. Some questions come. So if indeed that my life is full of Christ and His purposes, that when the enemy comes, whatever form he comes through the system, that there will be no room, there will be no traction places for him. There's nothing to seduce me from unless I am of the world. Unless I've lived so close to the world. Because pastors can be as carnal as anybody. Right? Your carnality, it doesn't save me. The fact that I traffic in many times unlived truths, it doesn't guarantee that I too will not become a very worldly man and maybe even appreciated for that. And that's very good. So I look at it, dear Lord, am I a carnal man? A worldly man? That same word for carnal or worldly? Or am I a godly man? I don't want to just be a good person. I want to be a godly person. Don't you? But I know the pull away. There's many people that are good people, but to be godly is a work of the Spirit. So as the onus then is, say, Lord, each day I must press in where the world cannot consume. It can't attack me because I've pressed in. I've drawn close. And when I sense that, that's of the world, I might still have to touch it. I might have to use it even. But it's like that. See, you can't stop birds from flying in the air. But you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And many times I think we've got nests in our hair because we were so in the world that birds had time to build nests. So, the question, is my life utterly for God? Knowing the end of the age is coming. It's coming. The writing of Scripture, that's why I cherish this kind of thing, because it's just everywhere. It's everywhere. Is my life utterly for God? Or am I for the world? Now, when we talk about loving the world, we're not talking about people. God loves people. We're not talking about that little blue sack of water. It revolves. Our earth is our earth. We're talking about that dark force that has invaded our world, and the cosmos is controlled by the enemy. So can Satan testify of you and of me? Then would he have to say? Would Satan have to say, "I cannot trap that man. I cannot trap that woman. I cannot trap that individual." And so, again, are we worldly and not separated unto God? I'm not talking about being weird. I've seen weird. Oh, terrible weirdness. Don't get me started on that. It's so bad. So how could Christians be so far off on some things? But this worldliness, so the reason, so James, coming back closer to James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion is that we feed orphans and care for widows. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. One is an outward thing, one is an inward thing. To be spotted by the world. I could just reverse that. What is it like to be spotted by the world? Not a good thing. Even though I can't always tell. And I don't know what you have done down through the years. See, I want my own heart. I want to be full to overflowing with the Spirit of God. So there's no room for whatever spirits. He said many, many antichrist spirits to deceive you. But he said, greater is he that is in you. That was the answer. And by it's so simple, he said, that's it. He said, you have no need for a person to teach you. You'll know. You'll know when that's not. Matter of fact, hasn't somebody recommended something to you, a book, or and you went along, you know, you went to it and you said, you know, I know this, there's something wrong with this. I don't know what it's wrong with it, but I know it doesn't have the right sense about it. And you found out later what it was. You found out that it was A Course in Miracles, or you thought it was the Urantia book, or you thought it was the, you know, and you could go on and on and on to what you might have thought it was. But isn't it strange? You didn't even know what it was, but your inner man did know that it was off. Just not something not quite right about it. It wasn't all heresy, but there was enough heresy to tell you that this is not the gospel. Say, well, who taught you that? Nobody. It was only later that I found out from someone who did know that. I said, isn't that odd? I knew it, but I just couldn't explain it because I didn't have that information. But I didn't need someone to explain it because there was a greater one living inside. And you can have the confidence that you will not be seduced by the world power when you were full of him. Yeah, amen. And so, our encouragement is to stay spiritual without becoming caught up in anything. Well, enough words.